You are listening to the Sunday morning sermon series from the Grapevine Church of Christ in Grapevine, Texas. We're a family that is devoted to giving our lives to and living our lives for Jesus Christ. If you'd like to know more, you can check out our website, www.grapevinechurch.com. Thank you for listening.
So there once was a man with two sons. Maybe you've heard this one before. The older son was a hard worker. He stayed in line, did what he was supposed to do. He worked until work was done, and he never came home early for supper. The younger son, on the other hand, not so much. This story is the story of the prodigal son. And one day in this story, this younger son, he came to the father, and he boldly says to the father, "Father, I can't wait any longer. Give me my inheritance now." I imagine him saying this, if you've seen the movie, like Veruca Salt and Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. She is to a T what I see this younger son doing. In this scene right here, if you've seen the movie, this is the first one, not the second one. Both of them are good. But in this first one, she claims to Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, in this scene that you see this picture, she's singing, "I'm not going to sing for you, but I will tell you the lyrics she's saying." She says, "Don't care how, I want it now, don't care how, I want it." And at this time, she jumps on that scale in the back, and we find out she's a bad egg. And as she's falling down the chute, she says, "I want it now." This is a stern, demanding request, not only from Veruca Salt, but also from this younger son in this story. We all know an inheritance is money or property that is given when someone has died. So you need to understand, essentially, this younger brother is telling his dad, "Dad, it would be better if you were dead so I can get my inheritance that's coming to me right now." You know, the father, surprisingly, responds unlike I would have. He divides the property up, obliging his son's request. In this culture, you need to understand that usually the older son received the majority of the wealth and property, but the younger son still received a good portion of the father's inheritance. He still came away looking good. So with his newfound riches, the younger son departs. He's ready to live his life to the fullest, in a new city, with a new reputation, and with lots and lot of riches from his inheritance. And man, did he live it up. He lived it up. He bought food. He bought drinks. He bought friends. He bought a reputation. And he bought, and he bought, and he bought, and he bought, until the wallet was dry. His newfound freedom and now newfound bondage to poverty and shame is what he had. He was alone. And so, really, the younger son is in a predicament, and what he has to do is he has to go find a job. And if you know the story, you know that during this time, the work is scarce in this area. They're going through a famine. So this younger son took a job working at a farm, just like home. Except here, his job was to feed pigs. This is not like home. You see, while I love a good pork chop and bacon as anybody, in this first century Jewish community, actually even today when we went to Israel, some of us got to go to Israel, when we were in Israel and even in Jerusalem, you couldn't find bacon, couldn't find ham, because in this community, this Jewish community, pigs are viewed as unclean animals. The Jewish people were not allowed to eat pigs. And now, this younger son, he's knee-deep in slop, and he's feeding them. And as he's throwing this grub to the herds of swine, the younger son's stomach begins to grumble. He realized he hadn't eaten that day. Did he eat yesterday or the day before? He couldn't remember, honestly, the last time he had eaten. But all of a sudden, that slop that is in his hands started looking pretty appetizing. He knew these pigs had it so well. Wait, he realized, what am I doing here? This is crazy. I'm standing here, filthy, feeding filth to filthy animals, and the solution is under my nose the whole time. Not even my servants at my father's house have it this bad. In Luke chapter 15, 18 through 19, I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. What he realizes is my father's servants, they get three meals a day. They're never cold. They're never homeless. They're never alone. I'll go back and I will go back as a servant. And so this younger son set off, and I imagine, you know, maybe he had his resume in hand, probably preparing himself for what was going to come when he got back home. Well, I guess it's not really his home anymore. He went back to the city where he was born, expecting shame, but hoping for a job. So what do you think happened? You know, as soon as the younger son steps foot within sight of his father's house, he saw something. Not something, but someone. Someone fast. He saw someone fast moving, running, sprinting towards him. Oh no, he thought. It's my father. Those of you who have heard the story of the prodigal son before, you know the ending. But remember what I told you earlier. Remember the last time this son had seen his father, he had told him, basically, in a nonchalant way, it would be better if you were dead. Then he wasted nearly half of his father's hard-earned money. He wasted the inheritance that he gave him. So when he saw his father running towards him, which was culturally inappropriate, he had a certain expectation. That expectation, I think, probably in his mind was he was expecting pain, lots of pain. And so I imagine the younger son holding out his resume in front of him, bracing for impact as his father was getting closer and closer. And when the father is within earshot, the son says, please accept my resume for the job of farmhand, as I am no longer worthy to be your son. And the father came closer and closer and closer, and then there's this impact moment. And this younger son is telling himself, wait. There's no pain, but embrace. His father throws his arms around him and kisses him, and there's tears of joy streaming down his father's clenched eyes. And 10,000 questions are scattered through this young son's mind. Instead of anger and getting even, what does the father do? He puts a ring on his finger, a coat on his back, and he starts leading him home. And this emotional father called out to his servants who are huddled in front of the door as they see what this commotion was, and he says, it's time to celebrate. Slaughter the fatted calf. And we all know what slaughter the fatted calf means, right? It's about to go down. There's going to be a party. It's going to be a party of the year. Steak buffet put in front of him. And after a while, this older son is still out in the fields, and he realizes he's the only one left, which is now the norm for him. Everyone around him has gone to the house, leaving him with the rest of the labor of the day. And after finishing the day, the sun nearly set, he trudged back towards the house, and he starts to hear celebration going on. And as he gets closer, he sees a servant by the door, and he yells to the servant, what's going on? Why is there celebration? Why do I hear music? Why do I see people dancing? Why do I smell grilled steak? Servant responds back and says, didn't you hear? Your brother has come home. Here's the hard part. Sometimes good news feels like bad news. Sometimes forgiveness feels like a knife in the back. This older son, he's outraged. He refused to go to the party. My disrespectful little brother. He insulted my father and he left. He's no brother to me anymore. The older brother is mad. He has hatred for his brother right now. His disbelief that these festivities are going on in his honor. Then the father peeks out the back door, seeing this older brother in his statue. This older brother, jaw still clenched, fist balled. And he calls out to his older son. He says, "Come. Come to the party. Come join us, my son." "I will do no such thing," the brother responds. And I think at this point in the story, we start to see the true heart of what this older brother is going through. We start to see things that are setting in, sins that are setting in, things that are clouding his vision of really what's going on in this story. Starting in verse 29. "But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fatted calf for him?' Have you ever thrown a party like this for me? Have you ever done anything to honor me? No, but my kid brother disrespected us, abandoned us, squandered your hard-earned money, came back empty-handed, and you slaughter the fatted calf? You have never given me a goat to celebrate with my friends. No, I will not come in, because quite frankly, my younger brother deserves none of this." A lot of sin happening right now in this older brother. Jealousy, selfish. We who are reading this story, we live in a reality where this is our reality. While we may not be slaughtering calves for backyard celebrations, if you do, please invite me, steak well done. We are put in situations where we are asked to give love to people who may not deserve it. We are asked to forgive others or forgive ourselves when we feel like we do not deserve it. In fact, Jesus said the greatest commandment of all was to love God, and second to that was to love people. And not just your friends, not just your family, but all people. The same people God loves. And if you've ever been in that situation where someone has wronged you, or maybe someone has abandoned you, or told lies about you, or hurt you, you know love isn't easy. Love isn't always fun. And yet, we see the father in the story now speak very softly to his older son, saying, "My son." The father said, "You are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead, and he's alive again. He was lost, and he is found." That's sin in a nutshell. When you and I sin, we're dead. When we ask for forgiveness, we're alive. When we sin, we're lost. When we come to the throne and ask for forgiveness, we're found. Whose shoes do you find yourself in today? Maybe like the younger brother, the path you have chosen thus far has not been something you're proud of. If that's you, I'm happy to tell you we have a father that forgives. Maybe like the older brother, there's someone you need to extend grace to. Someone who has hurt you, abandoned you, wronged you. Are you standing on the outside of the celebration, refusing to go in due to your unwillingness to forgive? Maybe this morning you find yourself holding on to a sin that quite frankly, you have not had the heart to truly give it over to God. It's that sin that you're trying to hide because you're ashamed of it, you're embarrassed of it, and it feels so much easier just to hold it in. Maybe you just need to let go of that sin. There's an old saying, unforgiveness is like drinking poison and waiting for your enemy to die. But don't lose focus with that noise, like I almost did. Because here's a key. There are some of us that might be thinking, I've been wronged, yes. I've not yet forgiven someone, yes. But they haven't asked me for forgiveness. They don't view what they did as wrong. In fact, they're still benefiting from the way that they are treating me. If I let that go, their actions go unpunished. I can't let go of this. That's where we have to remember in our hearts and in our minds that there are some true things about God. God is just. Vengeance is His. If you have faith that God knows your life, which we see in Scripture that He knows exactly how many hairs are on your head, let Him deal with it. Forgiveness is not forgetfulness. Forgiveness is laying down the right to get even. God is just. And we believe that God is just. And we believe that in the culmination of the story of forgiveness, right? Jesus was nailed to the cross, crucified for our sins. What did He say? Luke writes that He said this. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they divided up His clothes, casting lots. Jesus forgave them before God convicted them. Jesus forgave them without apology. In the book of Acts, Stephen, he's the first person to be killed for standing up for Jesus. He says this, then he fell on his knees and he cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. When he had said this, he had fallen asleep. So we see that Stephen's last words were about forgiveness. He didn't forget. He didn't say it was okay, but he laid down the right to get even. And he did it because he loved. He did it because he wanted to see them at the party. You know, Christ died and rose again so that all of us may have life, eternal life, free from death and sin. And He wants everybody to come. You know, some, they're going to stay on the outside because simply they don't want to accept Jesus. Some because of unbelief. Some won't come because truthfully they're like that other brother and they don't want to forgive. Jesus says in Matthew, Chapter 6, verse 14, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Those who refuse to forgive will be on the outside of the party, fist balled, teeth clenched. So who do you, by the power of God, need to forgive? Do you need to ask for forgiveness from a particular sin that you're struggling with in your life? I think if we're honest with ourselves, truly, truly honest with ourselves, we can answer yes to both of those. Maybe this morning you're ready to commit your life in the waters of baptism, committing your life to the one that performed the ultimate sacrifice for you, for your sins. We can do that. Maybe you just need this body of believers to pray for you because you're hurting. You're struggling. You need to let go of something. We can do that for you too.
You've been listening to Grapevine Church of Christ. Subscribe to our sermon podcast and to our other Grapevine Church podcasts for special behind-the-scenes content. For more information, you can go to www.grapevinechurch.com.